Today's scripture reading is from Luke 19, chapters 1 through 10. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a good look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. "Zacchaeus," he said, "quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today." Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. "He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner," they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, "I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord, and if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much." Jesus responded, "Salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I know. You guys are excited. You guys are excited because it's sports season, right? You guys are excited because the Bucks won their first game, right? What do we say? Go Bucks! You guys are excited because the Rays look good, right? You guys are excited because even though like we're in the preamble to the ice skating season, sorry, the ice hockey season, you guys are excited, right? What do you say when the Lightning are on the ice and they're winning and they're playing the crackling on the top and you go to the stadium? What do you say? Go Bolts. Some of you say go Bolts. Some people just don't like sports because you guys aren't excited. But if you are in the stadium, if you are in the stadium and the Lightning are playing and all the things are blazing, the lights are showing, the little Lightning thing comes up here and it's like electric, and then if you're in the Bucks stadium sweating a million buckets of sweat, you say, "Go Bucks!" Everyone's euphoric and they're freaking out and they are passionate and they are participating in the game, amen? In fact, if you don't say something, if you don't scream, if you don't get involved in everybody else screaming and singing and shouting, you're like, "I probably should say something." We are passionately participating when we are a sports game. We're so excited. My name's Keith Arcombe, and I'm your lead pastor here at Palm Harbor. And I am excited today because we are in our final value of our vision statement here at Palm Harbor. And our vision statement here at Palm Harbor, hopefully you're used to this now, we're all going to say it together. We are leading people to a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. And the way we do that here at Palm Harbor, this is if you cut us down the middle, these are the things that come up. These are the things that we value, and these are the things that we want to communicate to everybody else. The first value is open-hearted generosity. The next value is excellence in Christian development. Some of you are saying it, others of you are not. You ready? Say it with me. Excellence in Christian development. The next value that we highly value here at Palm Harbor, and we've talked about it and we've preached about it, we have a continuous focus on the future. In fact, Joel, our youth director here at Palm Harbor, took 38 kids bowling on Friday. We are continuously focusing on the future, amen? Yes. We have a commitment to missions. We have a commitment to missions. Let's say that together. Commitment to missions. And then finally, today, we have passionate participation. Let's say that together. Passionate participation. So they're the five values. If you're new today, if you're watching online for the first time, if you're new today, these is our new vision statement, our mission statement, is that we lead people to a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. And over the last 5 weeks, we've been going through our five values, our five core values of what they are and how we do that here at Palm Harbor. Those of you who have children know that whether they're grandchildren, nieces, nephews, you know that no matter what womb they come from, they all have different passions, amen? No matter what womb they come from, even if they all come from the same womb, each one of them normally have a different passion. My own children, my own four children, have all got different interests and different passions. My daughter has always loved, Jordan, has always loved education. From eighth grade, she always wanted to get A's all the way through. And she's the first Harcombe ever to get a jurisdictional doctorate at 25. She loves education. She's passionate about education. Thank you. Yeah, you can go. She better be watching. My second child, Jack, is also passionate. He is passionate about food service, and he should graduate in December this year from FSU. Go Noles, yeah? But he should be passionate about, he's passionate about food service and taking care of people, knowing that it's a lot more than just your food on your plate. He's passionate about that, and he makes a really good guacamole. My son, Max, is an amazing jazz guitar player. And he can pick out a song after the first three chords amazingly. He is passionate about music all the way back to the 1940s. And he has records. Remember those things? And he's passionate about music. My fourth child is different than all the rest. He is passionate about action figures. He's passionate about the way they look. He's passionate about DC and Marvel. And he can tell you whether something is DC or Marvel. In fact, he can tell you by looking at a character, looking at the way it's been designed, whether it has been designed by Legends, which is a branch of Hasbro, or whether it's been designed by Diamond Select. Now, those are specifically for Marvel products. He can tell you whether it's a DC superhero or not, made by McFarlane Toys. He can tell you whether something is going to be super cloned. He can tell you the whole background history of one particular action figure. He can tell you every comic that was ever written about it. He can tell you how far back, what year that particular character has been created. He can tell you whether there's been a movie talked about. He can tell you about how many movies they are going to do. He can tell you about all the backstories of every particular character and whether they are ever going to feature again, whether they are good, whether they are lame, whether they have any kind of character. So much so that when you're in a movie with him, he can say, they never wanted to do that. Or see, she should have been blue. They said she was going to be blue. Or see that? That was never in the comic. Shut up. Whether you like action figures or not, whether you like DC, whether you like Marvel, whether you like colors and particular faces, and it doesn't matter. He's passionate about what he's into. And maybe you've met somebody and you don't really care for the particular topic that you're talking about. You don't particularly care about what it is that they're going on in their life, but you admire their passion, amen? You see that, oh, they're passionate about that. I might get involved. This is cool. And whether you're passionate about education, whether you're passionate about food, you're a foodie, whether you're passionate about music or action figures, you admire a person's passion. What are you passionate about? What experience have you had that's made you passionate about a particular thing? If I was around you for 20 minutes, what would be the first thing that you would talk about? Because it's right down here and it immediately runs up to your head and you start talking about it. What are you passionate about? What drives you to be involved? What drives you? Like, no matter what, you don't even know what your left hand or your right hand's doing because you're just doing it anyway because you're so passionate about it. There was a guy who was passionate. In our scripture reading today that Jerry read to us, this guy was passionate. This guy heard about the guy that was helping everybody come into town. I'm going to read the first four verses for you again. If you've got your Bibles today, open them. If you have a cell phone, which is everybody in this room, open your app. Open your app to Luke chapter 19. If you're online, just open up another tab. Luke 19, chapters 1 through 10 is where our story is. I want you to follow along. You might see something different that you've never seen before. Verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the child. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. So Jesus was on the way through Jericho. He was on the way through Jericho because he was passing from the east to Jerusalem. He was on his final mission. He was on his mission to get to the cross. And on the way through Jericho, he bumped into large crowds. This is a trade route. This is a major trade route through to Jerusalem. This is the trade route that Jesus was walking along. Lots of people would have been gathered here. Lots of people were following, swathes of people were following him. And just like dust everywhere. It's kind of like a farmer's market. If you ever go down to one at St. Pete's or anything, it's just people everywhere, chaos everywhere. And Jesus was walking through this town. Now, Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector, says the scripture. Now, a tax collector in ancient times, in ancient Near East times, was somebody to be hated. They were always in cahoots with the enemy. In fact, they were often called tax farmers. If you were a tax farmer, you farmed out the tax of the ruling empire. So you worked for the empire, and you got tax and tributes and gave them to the governing authorities. So for this particular one, it was Jericho. And there were more tax collectors in Jericho because of all the trade routes that was going on. And everybody knew what a tax collector looked like, whether it was their clothes, whether they wore fine clothes. They just stuck out, and everybody kind of knew. Different tax farmers would charge different monies for different items. In fact, if you bumped into a tax collector whilst you were walking through Jericho and you had an item or you had some items on you, they would often stop you and say, hey, you're going to give me some more tax for that. So you stayed away from these people. You stayed away, and they were hated. In fact, the rabbis, the religious leaders of the day, would call these people unclean. Unclean because of their lies and their cahoots with the enemy, with the empire, with the Roman Empire. In fact, if you had a tax collector come into your home, you were also considered unclean. And the rabbi would have to go in your house and pray that the evil that was had from this tax collector would disappear and your house would be cleansed. Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector, and he had many tax collectors under him. Think about how hated this guy was. Think about, okay, so you're a tax collector, you're hated. Now, if you're a chief tax collector, you're chief hated. They hated this guy. And it's just his presence in the community made people like want to vomit. Zacchaeus, all his life, had felt hated. He was lost, he was lonely, and he was looking for somebody, looking for something to help him in his life. So he hears that the one who can help the lost, the one who can help those who are looking, The one who can help the lonely is coming into town. He's coming to Jericho briefly on his way to Jerusalem to get crucified. So he hears, and the crowds and the throngs are around trying to see this Jesus, and the entourage of people coming down this road through the marketplace. So he tries to see. He tries to see that Jesus would pass his way. I don't know, maybe he could get a spot. I mean, regardless of how tall he was, they weren't going to let him get in front of the crowd. Get out the way. You can't see. We don't even like you. Zacchaeus was lost, lonely, and looking. And also he was bereft of all dignity. Because he, all of a sudden, the first thing he does when he hears that Jesus is coming is that he ran. Now to you and I, it's just a, right? This guy lifts up his robes, because he would have been wearing robes. He lifts up his robes to his knees and runs like this. Runs crazy and then climbs the tree. Now, apparently a sycamore tree is a really easy tree to climb, but I've never climbed one in a robe. Have you? I mean, a lot of people who wear skirts or dresses know what it's like to run in a dress. I mean, if we live in Florida, so most of you know what it's like to run in flip-flops. That's what he had on. Climb the tree in the flip-flops. Because the Lord he wanted to see, by the way, I know I've lost a bunch of you, because all that song that you learned in Sunday school, if you grew up in church, you know, Zacchaeus was a little, that song's running around your head, right? So he climbs in the sycamore tree and hopes to get a waft of the holiness and a waft of the presence of Jesus. Maybe this can make him feel better. He's up high, and maybe as he walks by, there's like this holiness that goes by and touches him and helps him feel better. Hopefully, I just get a look at him. Maybe I'll feel better if I get a look at him. So he climbs up into the sycamore tree and looks down at Jesus going by. Verse 5, I'm just going to read verse 5. Hanging in a tree. Guy's hanging in the tree. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name and said, Zacchaeus, everybody hates you because you're a tax collector. He didn't say that, did he? You are lost, you are lonely, and you are looking because you are rich. He didn't say that, did he? Zacchaeus, no wonder everybody hates you. You've deprived everybody of the money that's theirs. You have burdened the poor. I mean, that's what I would have said. Jesus says, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. Quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. There's lots of other things he could have said to him. There was lots of other things that he could have mentioned to him. This tax man, this chief tax collector, was looking. He was looking for somebody to help him with his lostness, somebody to help him with his loneliness, somebody to help him with what he was looking for. And in our New Living Translation that we're reading here, it says he was just looking. In other English versions, it says he was seeking. The Greek word there is zeteo, and zeteo means to do something deliberately. It means to make an effort. It means to strive. This guy was making an effort. He was striving. He was looking deliberately. And Jesus says to him, come on down. Quickly, urgently, because I got something for you. Come on down urgently. Because I'm going to be in your home today. In the Sunday school song, yeah? God's coming to your house too. In the English version of that song, as in the original version from the motherland, Zacchaeus was a very little man, and a very little man was he. He climbed up into the sycamore tree because the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up into the tree, and Jesus said, Zacchaeus, you come down, because I'm coming to your house for tea. which is the correct version. If you have tea in an English person's house in Scotland and England, yeah, it takes a while. You have a pot. You want some more tea? It takes a long time. You got to talk to your Aunt Bessie longer than you thought you did. I'm coming to your house for tea. I'm coming. I mean, if I was Zacchaeus, I'd have dropped out of the tree immediately. What's it say? Verse 6. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down the tree and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. So Zacchaeus, as quick as he could, you know, tries to get down a sycamore tree, and he's snagging his robe as he gets down, you know, kind of thing. Oh, okay, Jesus, I'll be right with you. And they walk together with the throng of people following him to his home. And they get in the home, and normally in an ancient Near Eastern home, the windows are open, as in no window panes. And normally when somebody is speaking in the home, they would lean in to the window and listen to what the speaker had to say, especially a rabbi. So they were listening to the kind of conversation that Zacchaeus was having with Jesus. And what did they do? They grumbled. The disciples, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, anybody else who happened to be following through that town grumbled. If they had any unification around this matter, it was the fact that everybody hated Zacchaeus. If there was any unification amongst all the different tribes and all the different types and flavors and races and ethnicities of the people, it was this one thing: we hate tax collector, especially chief tax collector Zacchaeus. I don't care how big he is. I don't care if he's short. I don't care if he's tall. We all hate him. And they could get a meeting. Let's have a hate meeting. Hate speech meeting. Yes, we hate him. Perhaps for us today, it might be somebody who cheats with a 501(c). Somebody who collects money for one particular purpose, for charity, for churches, for a good cause, and takes that money and uses it for their own gain. I think we could all agree around here, we would not like that, amen? And we could have a hate speech rally. We hate you. They grumbled. They grumbled because this man is the man that we hate together. We all do. Interestingly enough, in verse 24, in the previous chapter of this, Jesus says, "It is hard for the rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Yet here he is inviting the man in the tree to tea. Come, let's see what can happen. Come down. They're all grumbling. Verse 8, "Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, 'I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord, and if I have cheated the people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much.'" So whatever conversation they had in his home, he stood. It's like a proclamation. It's like a passionate thing he was going to do. He declared to everybody who could hear. He declared to those who were within earshot. He declared to those who were grumbling about him. And he stood and he said, "I'm going to give it all back. In fact, not only am I going to give everybody back what I've cheated them, I'm going to give fourfold." A theological point to be of note here is that Zacchaeus did not gain Jesus' favor because he gave money back. Amen? He did not get more favor from Jesus because he was given the money back that he cheated people. He was doing it passionately because of his encounter with Jesus. He did it because of an encounter and Jesus' grace towards Zacchaeus. This is amazing. This is for me, this lost one, this lonely one, this one who's been looking for years. This is amazing. I'm going to give it all back. I don't need this anymore. And so he states and goes off and has a partition. He has a place to be passionate about now. And he passionately gives back to those who he had wronged. In other commentators talked about this tax, and they said, Zacchaeus' passionate encounter with Jesus delivered concrete monetary results. Something happened. Something happened to Zacchaeus. And what's Jesus' response? I would love to hear the pin drop that was in his house when Jesus responded to what he said. He said, verse 9, read along. Jesus responded, "Salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost." Salvation has come to this home today. Somebody who thought he was beyond salvation has come to this home today. Has come to this home today. And he adds on to the end of that, this guy is a true son of Abraham. Everybody around is like, what? How can he be a son of Abraham? And if Jesus had a little while, he would have explained the fact that now he's accepted that Jesus is a major part of his life and he's passionately participating with what's going on in his life, that because of my death on the cross, he's been adopted into the family of Jesse, and now he's in the same line as you lot. They're grumbling. He says, you are now a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to save the sick and save those who are lost. One of the major things I learned through this is that Jesus had nothing to lose in this event. Jesus came to earth to do exactly what he was doing, offering grace to the lost and the lonely, offering an opportunity, inviting people into a life-changing relationship with him. He was doing exactly what he was meant to do. Zacchaeus, he'd been hated all his life. How could it get any worse? How could it get any worse if he followed Jesus now? How could that change his life? And because of this encounter, not worrying about the grumblers, not worrying about what other people said, his life was transformed. And he immediately, passionately participated in what it meant to follow Jesus. And this passionate participation, this event, this monetary event, was because he'd had an encounter with Jesus. His drive, his ability to do what he was doing, was because of his encounter with Jesus. What are you passionate about? Is it education? Is it food? Are you a foodie? Is it about music and all the different melodies that go on in the musical arrangement? Is it action figures and Hasbro and music that goes with it and movies? Is it sports season? Zacchaeus could have had all that stuff. He could have had all of that stuff and still been lost and lonely. If you are passionate about something, I am going to find out real quick. I'll know. You'll tell me about it immediately. If you are passionate about the Buccaneers, what do you say? Okay, good. I'm going in the stadium with you guys. If you are passionate about the Rays, what do you say? You say? If you are passionate about the ice hockey, you say? Yeah, I'm excited it's sports season. And my team got destroyed on Saturday. But my team is called Everton, and they're called the Toffees. And when we go to the game, although I haven't been in a long time, sometimes people call the crowd the 12th man, the 12th person on the pitch. When we're in the stadium, when we are passionately participating in the stadium, it's like we're a part of the team. It's like we become part of the passionate participation in the team. And when our team is playing, when the team is playing, and you're even if you're watching the television, you say, come on, it's Toffees. You say, come on, because we're with you. We want you to do this together. We want you. I know so-and-so's down and he's injured, and if he would have been in, then we would have got a goal, but come on. We want you to do this together. This week, I'm asking you to be passionately participating in your church. I'm not asking so that you get favor with God. I'm not asking because it'll look good on your report that you give in for service hours. I'm not asking. I'm asking that you remember your encounter with Jesus. I'm asking that you remember that because of this, you want to participate. And on the way out today, you'll see a form or a card like this. And it has places to serve and be participating in the life of your church. And if you've been around here long enough, some of you have served already. In fact, because of your passion of participation, this community has grown over the years. And we would love for you to do it again. And maybe God's tugging on your heart, tugging on your head to do it somewhere else. Maybe it's a new day, you have more time. Maybe you need a place to plug into. And we would love for you to pick this up and take a place. Put your name on it and let us know where you'd like to participate. We're going to give those forms on the way out today. But I know that you cannot participate unless you've had an encounter with Jesus. Amen. Zacchaeus had an encounter. He ran, he climbed, he said, I'm going to give all my money back to the poor that I've robbed them of. What is it for you today that you're going to be passionate about? It's bigger than the Bucks, and I love the Buccaneers. It's bigger than the Rays. It's bigger than ice hockey. It's bigger than Everton Football Club. God bless them. But it's about Jesus. It's about being involved with him, being involved with his church and his people here at Palm Harbor. Do you want to do that? Come on! Turn to your neighbor and say, come on! We want you to do this today. We want you to do this so that other people too can lead people to a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. And we do this through passionate participation. Amen.